A quarter or a dime in particular, that how's the outside edge of that coin? Do you remember? It's got little lines in it, doesn't it? Now, I always thought that those lines were there so they would work well in a vending machine, but that's not the reason they're there. Long time ago, somebody, you know, people are always looking for a way to cheat the system, right? Which, shame on them. Long time ago, people found out, especially back in Roman days, that they could take a coin and they could shave a little bit off the outside edge. And if you did that long enough, then you got some silver and you got yourself one more coin. And in other words, they're just kind of sizing them down a little bit. And originally, one of the ideas I've been told, I couldn't prove this, but I've been told that the reason that they put the ridges on the outside is to show if the thing's been shaved or not. And the word in the passage here that goes along with that little illustration is in there's two places really. In verse 5, he says, prove. You see that word, prove your own selves? Do you see that in verse 5? Prove your own selves. And then he talks in verse 7 about that we should appear approved. And it's a Greek word. The Greek word is dokimos. And it talks about having money that is validated. In other words, it's not been shaved down or it hasn't been cut off. And I got a big long paragraph here about this from one Bible dictionary. It says that there were more than 80 laws passed in Athens to stop the practice of shaving down coins. And that money changers who were men of integrity would not accept counterfeit money. And those were men of honor, and they were called approved, or dokimos. So that's from Barnhouse. He's the guy that wrote that. In other words, there was a group of men that if you took money from them, you knew that it was good, that it was the right size, it hadn't been shaved down, it hadn't been counterfeited or anything. And those men had a special title. And so if you look at this passage, let me kind of show you how this comes together. He says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 13, he says, every word be established at the end of the verse. He wants every word to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He says in verse 3, ye seek proof in Christ. And talking again about approved or something that's been validated. And then, of course, in verse 5, he says, examine yourselves. And he says in verse 5, prove yourselves. He says in verse 6 that we're not reprobates. And that word reprobates, the opposite of being approved. And then verse 7 of being approved. And now go back and let's just look at verse 1. I'll just read a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians 13:1, the Bible says, this is the third time I am coming to you. He's not talking about the writing. He's going to be there. He's going to visit them. He says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. In other words, we're going to find out who said what. Verse 2, I told you before, and I foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, let's just have a word of prayer and talk about that for a minute if we could. Father, thank you tonight that as we come here this evening that each of us have the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You've given us the strength, the resources, the opportunities. And Lord, we cannot go back and change what we have done in this year called 2020. But if you see fit not to return in these next few weeks or months, we have 2021 to look forward to where we can serve you. And we do know, however, that one day you will return, and that when that day comes, it'll be a day to give an accounting of what we have done. And Lord, I think tonight from a positive angle that it's not going to be a bad day, but a good day for folks that have served you with their life. And it's not too late for us to serve you with our life. And we just pray that you'd bless this message now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like to have somebody over to your house for dinner? I know the young people can't raise their hand maybe, but I do. And how many of you have a dish, a particular item of food? I'm thinking Mrs. Mendez has several of these, so you just have to pick one. But you have a dish that you really like to serve people because you know they're going to like it. And Greg, what you talking to you got there?
Burgers.
Yeah, nothing better than a good hamburger, amen? Mrs. Perry? Broccoli rice casserole. Oh, yeah. Leo? Okay. I can't even say that right, but they're very good, and there's lots of ways to make them. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Chicken salad. Yeah. I've had some good chicken salad at y'all's house. We used to have this dish we would serve. If you came to our house for dinner in Utah, just about guaranteed you were going to get Russian chicken. Because it was good stuff. And I'm not even sure what all's in it. I remember there was tomatoes in it. And we haven't had it in years now. But what I'm thinking about is this. When you got that dish, like that good hamburger or, whatever, and aren't you looking forward to having the guest come and eat what you have offered to them? Amen? Because you know they're going to like it. And you enjoy making people happy with the food that you serve. And I still enjoy that. And I think that the illustration there kind of fits in. Folks, there's a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And we're going to have the privilege of saying, Lord, this is the life I lived for you. Amen? I'm not saying it was a perfect life. We know far from it. But it was a life that contained sacrifice, right? It contained, I'll use the word patience, which goes right along with suffering. That's been the big joke in the school this year. Please don't pray for patience because tribulation worketh patience. But truthfully, we do go through tribulation and we're patiently endure and keep on going. Amen? Amen. Yeah, don't forget the charity. Amen. The things in your life that you have done for the Lord, the hours of service, the faithfulness to church, the tithing, which is really giving him what's already his, the supporting missions, somebody is going to come up to you in heaven that is from some land you never heard of, from some city, from some place, and they're going to have a name that we couldn't pronounce here probably, and they're going to say to you, you sent a missionary, and because that missionary came to me, I found Christ as my Savior. Amen. It's all for the Lord, isn't it? I'm not even going to think about the negative side of this. I just want to look at the positive side. We know if we have lived a life, not a perfect life, but a right life for the Lord, where we did give him our time and our talents, and we did expend our energy, and we did sacrifice, and we did suffer perhaps, and we did experience tribulation, endure, and kept on going. And I can just start by saying this, on the day that he returns, it's all over, amen? No more, no more. When the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the suffering was ended, and now from there on, it's good news. And you have a life that you are living and that you have lived to offer to the Lord. And whatever you did this last year and this last decade and in this since, you know, you got saved, those are things that we have that we can lay before the Lord, and he will be pleased with the things we've done for him. Now, that's not necessarily Paul's primary angle here, because, and again, I'm just going to stay away from the negatives, but if you look at the passage, here's what Paul says to these folks. He's been 12 chapters of explaining to them the way things ought to be. That's a simple paraphrase. And in chapter 13, in verse 1 in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, he says, I'm coming to you. And he says, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. In other words, we're going to find out what happened. And folks, in the day the Lord comes back, there'll be no hiding anything. Just as sure as, I sure love that verse, that cup of cold water, or in our case, that bottle that you gave to somebody in Christ's name will not lose its reward. Even a little thing like that. But a lot of other things won't lose their reward either. And he's coming back, amen? If somebody says, well, he hadn't come back yet, I know, but he could come back today. There may not be a 2021 for us, and I don't know that we'd mind that an awful lot, except we sure want to see some more folks get saved. It's going to be established. That word established means that there won't be any question. You know, you've heard the story of the iceberg, right? You're sailing along in the ocean, you look out there, and there's this chunk of ice out there. And you know something about that. 85% of that iceberg is underneath the water. You're just seeing the top little bit of it. That's kind of how people are. The people that you know, the truth of the matter is most of what there is about them is kind of hidden. And it may be good or it may not. That's not the point. The point is a lot of things that we don't know now, the Lord knows. There may be some people, for example, and they pray and they read their Bible and you have no idea. Or let's turn that around. You may pray and read your Bible and nobody has any idea. And that's the way you ought to pray, by the way, in your closet, right? You ask in secret, the Lord rewards openly. But, you know, you spent countless hours praying and nobody knows except you and the Lord. But it's going to be established one day, amen? You hand out tracts faithfully. You read your Bible faithfully. You support missions faithfully. And you've been doing that, not just for a year or two, but for a long time, decades. And nobody knows. Yeah, the Lord knows. Some people hide behind that. See, Paul says, you know, right now, when I'm not there yet, some people are doing some things that they're going to be ashamed of, and they think they're getting away with it, but it's going to be established. Amen? And we can apply that just as easily as anybody else can. I like the second verse. I told you before, and foretell you, I'm telling you again, is kind of what he's saying, as if I were present. And he's talking about the second time he was there is when he told him. He says, being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. In other words, there will be accountability. Oh, don't you grieve over that person that is lost and that sat in a church service and heard the gospel again and again, perhaps, and never got saved? And what excuse would they have? There's no excuse, is there? Even if you didn't sit in a church service, there's no excuse because Romans chapter 1 says we can see God in creation. But when the Lord comes, it's going to be too late for folks to get saved. We won't even debate that one, but the point of the matter is when he does come back, there's a day coming when it's too late. Verse 3, he says, since ye seek proof of Christ speaking in me, and that kind of sums up a lot of the book, their question is, what gives Paul the right? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone asks you, what gives you the right to tell them they're going to go to hell? The Bible. Amen? Now, what gives you the right? Do you think you're better than me? Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't think I'm better than anybody. But I think Christ saved me from my sins, amen? I know he did. And that doesn't make me any better, it just makes me saved. But there is, Christ speaks through us, amen? And he said, well, you want proof of that? He says, he goes on and talks about that a little bit. He says, he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. And you know, there's a little pattern there. I don't mind telling you, in this last month or so, I felt pretty weak. Some of us, health-wise, we can acknowledge our weakness. And the older we get, I'm not getting any stronger. Not expecting to get any stronger. Physically, we can acknowledge our weakness. The fact of the matter is, folks, when we're weak, God is strong. You say, well, Pastor, we're just so weak, what can we do? It's not a question of what we can do, it's a question of what God can do. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared weak, didn't he? The Romans thought, ah, he's weak. The Jews thought, ah, he's weak. They're going to find out otherwise. And some folks, perhaps, that have expected that they're getting away with some things will find out he's not weak at all. He's very strong. He was crucified, yet he liveth by the power of God. And we do too, amen? He says, we also, he's talking about himself. He says, we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And that's just a nice thought, that one day the Lord comes back, we're going to be strong and live because he lives. So then he says this, and this is kind of the crux of the matter in verse 5. He says, examine yourselves. Now this is a question of whether you be in the faith. A lot of us have had a lot of examinations lately from the doctors, haven't we? And I went into the hospital on the morning of the 13th on a Sunday morning, and they said, well, we're going to take your blood and we're going to take some x-rays. Oh, that's not enough. We're going to do a CT scan. And they looked me over real good to the point to where they could see everything going on inside my chest cavity. And they said, we know what the problem is. We found it. They did an examination. You know, we have something better than a CT scan or an x-ray machine. I'm not talking about for finding blood clots. I'm talking about for finding sin in our life, for finding things that we need to do differently in the year ahead. Amen? For finding how we ought to treat one another, for finding out how we ought to think, for finding out. We already heard about faith tonight and talking about seeing things versus believing. Greg talked about faith. Here it is, folks. This is our x-ray machine. It'll examine us. And it'll find out what needs to be changed. In fact, the Bible says the Word of God's like a mirror. We can look in it, we can see what needs to be changed, and something can be done about it. Amen? He says to these folks, examine yourselves and look at this. This is kind of terrifying in one sense. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The word examine, of course, means to test. And he uses that word prove, which is again the dokimazo. It's a verb. It means to validate or to verify. I want to ask everybody here, and I know what I would probably answer for you, but I'm not the one that can do this. Do you know you're saved? Amen? Amen? Amen. Young people, old people, everybody. Everybody here, if I put a good attorney up here on this platform and had him question you and question your salvation, I hope you could prove with something, I won't say what, that you're saved. I think I'd use the Bible. I kind of like using the Bible for that, amen? But if you notice something, we've been in Matthew on Sunday mornings and we'll be there again this week. Part of the proof of salvation is what we do. Amen? And that's, you can't get away from that. What you do is a demonstration. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I think the fact that people are faithful to church is a good sign, but it's no proof. It's not complete proof. I think the way that you walk with God when no one else is around is a good sign. You ought to be able to prove that. I went for a job application one time in Dallas, Texas. Have you seen that picture of that building in Dallas with the green lines on it? I don't know what they call it, but about halfway up that building, there's an attorney's office, used to be anyway. And I interviewed for a job with them. And they had an attorney question me, and by the time he was done with me, I wasn't sure what my name was, much else anything else. He was good. And he was asking me questions, trying to see if I was lying on my resume, which I was not. My resume was very, very accurate. And he had questions. Why did you have this job and then you had this job? And what did you do there? But when you have the truth on your side, you can ask all the questions you want. The truth's still the truth. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart and somebody questions your salvation, the best attorney on earth can't talk you out of that, can he? I think we ought to be able to say, I know I am saved. And if you can't say that, you ought to get that way. Because I sure wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to think there was any possibility that any of us would step into eternity and find ourselves in hell. And that's a continual message we ought to be telling folks. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. He says, "Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Can you tell me Christ lives in me? When Christ comes in, as we looked at a week ago Sunday, when Christ comes in, things change. Have new problems, new possibilities, new provision, all sorts of things change. And now, those of us that have been around a while, you know, we're in our 60s or 70s or whatever. Anybody here in their 70s? I shouldn't ask that question. A lot of 60s here, though, amen? Joey's in his 60s, amen. Kidding. Can you look back and see how Christ changed your life? Well, I sure can. And praise God, that's just good stuff. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, all that's going to be crowns you can lay at his feet and rewards and just that much more evidence that I know I'm saved because I can see what Christ has done and how he's changed my life. You say, well, Pastor, some bad things came along with that. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Paul the Apostle was persecuted. Peter was persecuted. Nobody said that because Christ came in, your life was going to be, well, that's not true. The TV evangelist that teaches prosperity theology, he's going to tell you it'll all be smooth sailing and riches. And folks, that's not the Christian life. But it's worthwhile. Amen? It's worthwhile. And he is going to return, and we are going to get to show that. And then he says in verse 6, I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Again, the word reprobate means unapproved or the opposite of what he's been talking about. And I guess we ought to say this. If I have evidence in my life that I am saved, other folks ought to see it. Amen? Hopefully some folks will see it that aren't saved and get saved. But we ought to be an encouragement to one another. I say this too often, but sometimes when I see people walk in the door of the church, it just blesses my soul. Praise God, they're back. I know why they're back, because God brought them back. Amen? Amen. And that's the way it ought to be, is we ought to be an encouragement to one another. In verse 7, and I'm done. I kind of threw this verse in to get that word in here one more time. He says, now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved. I'm not worried about how it makes me look. He says, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. And he's kind of tongue-in-cheek there. What he's saying is, you know, you can say it, he's a reprobate, which he's not. But he says, I hope you do right. That's not a bad place to end, amen? In the year ahead, I hope we do right. I hope we don't quit. I hope we serve faithfully. I hope we trust God. I hope we can have a smile on our face because God loves us. And I hope others can see that. And he's coming back sometime, though. And that's the overlying factor here in this whole entire passage. Paul says, I'm coming back. Well, guess what? Jesus says, I'm coming back. And when he comes back, there won't be any hidden iceberg. There won't be any unestablished thing. Everything will be known. And all the dross and all the waste and all the sin and those kind of things, washed away in the blood of Christ. And what is left? Can you just for a second imagine the Lord looking at you and smiling and saying, well done? Amen? Wow. Say, well, Pastor, what about? No. Just think about that for a minute. I don't know what somebody else is doing or whatever, but I hope he finds me faithful. Hope he finds us faithful. Amen? You may not be important in this world. Nobody may know who you are. You may never have written a book or may have never done anything that made the news. But I think you've done some things that Christ has seen. What's more important, what man thinks or what Christ thinks? And then again, if you do serve Christ, men are going to see it. But that's not the point. Christ sees it. Amen. And he's coming back. And when he does, it's all going to be established and we are going to be with him for all eternity. So he hasn't come back yet, which means we have a little more time to serve him, a little more time to make things right, a little more time to forsake whatever sin there is, a little more time to tell folks about him. Last Sunday, when I was headed home or when I got home, Brother Mendez sent me a text message and he says, Pepe got saved. And it popped into my head, well, man, he wasn't the last one. But somewhere there is that last one, isn't there? Wouldn't that be a kick if the last soul to ever get saved got saved at Vision Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona? And we could walk around for all eternity saying, hey, you know what church I went to? Yeah, getting proud a little bit there. Folks, who knows though? Amen? Are you praying for somebody to get saved? Keep praying. Is there somebody that you know that they need to be encouraged to come to church and hear the gospel one more time? Invite them back out. Keep on being faithful. Say, Pastor, nobody cares what I do. That is wrong. Christ cares what you do. And some people care as well, but Christ cares. And even if nobody else is faithful, you be faithful. Amen?